There's a funny fat man in a silly red suit, stuck in the smoke hole of our teepee. There's a funny fat man in a silly red suit, stuck in the smoke hole of our teepee.
Wait for it.
Where did you find
it? Wait for it.
Oh, ho, ho, he thinks he's talking Indian. No, 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 ain't no way we'll let him in. Not no funny fat man in a silly red suit, stuck in the smoke hole of our teepee.
Merry Christmas, everybody. That was, one of Mike's friends from South Dakota has sent that over, and we all got it's been stuck in our head for 3 days.
I guess
so. We just had to share it with everybody else.
I think it would be stuck in my head.
Well, everyone has woken up this morning. We have every line full. Les, John, Mary, but David's going to start us off. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program. Dave?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
First off, thanks for taking my call. I got an issue. I've got my next door neighbor has some vines that keep on growing up his chain link fence, and once they get over his chain link fence, they decide they're going to migrate into my backyard. I want to try and get rid of these vines, whatever this plant is, but I want to do it without killing the soil, because I actually want to plant grass in my backyard, and with all these vines growing over, it's kind of prohibiting me from being able to do that. So I'm trying to figure out, how can I get rid of the vines and still be able to grow grass as soon as I get them gone?
Okay, when you say it's coming over, it's actually coming up through the ground, sprouting off the roots up out of the ground in your yard?
That's what it looks like. It looks like it's definitely climbing over the fence. It's all over the chain link fence coming through, but it also looks like it's coming through the soil as well.
Okay, obviously the stuff that's coming over, you can just keep trimming back, but the shoots that are coming out of the ground, that are coming up off of the root system of the vine, that's going to be a little bit different situation. And I don't know of a really great way to tell you to control those without potentially killing the rest of the vine. I wish I had a good answer for you. I can tell you what will kill those, but to tell you that it won't kill the vine or sections of the vine, it might not kill the whole vine, but it certainly could kill sections of it. That could be a problem. You could spray those shoots when they come up with a non-systemic herbicide, something, a broadleaf weed killer, something with what we call Q or Quinlarac in it, would certainly burn them down and kill them down to the ground. And it wouldn't kill grass because it's a broadleaf. So if you had grass growing there, you could use it. Short of going in and digging it up and then just waiting for it to come back again, maybe using little spot treatments, if you catch it when it's small, of a broadleaf weed killer, that would probably work.
Good luck, Dave. It's a project. It's probably something that's he's never going to have to – he's not going to have anything that just done once. It's going to be constant
maintenance. It's a maintenance issue of stuff. He's just going to have to control it, catch it when it's little, before it gets established, and pull them or spray them with that, so you don't impact the whole area.
Would it be possible for him to even think about maybe going in there with a little Belgard paver liner 1 or 2 feet out from the chain link fence and just live with the lawn being 2 feet shorter?
That in reality might be the absolute best way to do it, is just, hey, it's covering the chain link fence, which probably is not all bad. And just, put a border and go down with a good footer so it doesn't keep creeping into the lawn any further than that.
You got the vines that creep by root, then you got the vines that creep by surface.
Right, yeah. It sounds like what it could be, cat claw, because it's got that, tuberous root system that keeps expanding under the ground, and then they keep shooting up off of that. But, yeah, I like that idea. Go in with a border of some type.
And I'd trench down 18 inches.
Pour some concrete, pour a good footer.
Because I've tried to dig cat claw up in my yard, and I thought, oh, I got it this year. Uh-huh. And boy, about 2 years later, there's that stupid thing. It's like oleander. Nothing you can do to get rid of it.
Yeah. It's great from that standpoint. It's very hardy or tough, but if you want to get rid of it, it can be a bit of an issue. But that's a good idea.
That opens the line at 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you as we go to Peoria and bring John into the conversation. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. I've got some Mexican palms here in my yard, but the frost touched the other day. Now I got a letter from my HOA saying I have to start trimming the dead leaves off of them. And it's only about an inch on the end of the palm, maybe 2 inches, that's actually turning brown. But they still want me to trim all of these browning leaves off. What would you recommend?
Okay, well, I need to go back a little bit because what you're calling a Mexican palm, is this a fan palm, the big, tall-growing fan palms that you have?
Yes, the fan palm. It is probably about 15 foot tall now.
Okay. Well, the frost didn't do that because they're not that frost sensitive. I mean, they might have gotten touched a couple of years ago or last year when we had a really hard freeze. So this browning on the tips is pretty common, and that's going to happen with some palms. Where they usually will get you is after the, you know, a number of years of growth have died and they hang down and create what we call a beard on palm trees, and you've got that, you know, that.
No, all that has been trimmed off. That is not the issue there. It's just the
really?
Actual green leaves that are starting to turn a little brown.
Wow.
I think someone in your HOA
luck.
Has some time on their hands.
I would challenge them to go around the neighborhood and find some palms that don't have some browning on the tips of the ends of the leaves, especially the ones that are a little bit older, but not completely dead and hanging down.
Are they sensitive to when you trim them, like other trees?
Well, not so much. The best time to trim them, especially as they get taller and you only want to have somebody climb them or get up them once, is sometime kind of mid-summer, late June, early July, because then you get the blooms. You know, the palm tree has a bloom that actually comes out. It's kind of like a tassel, almost looks like corn blooming. And then that when that's done blooming, that forms a dead, kind of a hard, tassel-y appendage. So if you wait until then you cut off last year's growth and the blooms, and you kind of get it all in one attempt if you do that in the summertime.
I gave myself an early Christmas present. Do you ever give yourself a Christmas present?
Usually.
Usually. I called John Eisenhower at Integrity Tree Service. I said, come cut down the 4 palm trees I've got in this rental property's backyard. In a day, whack, boom, they're gone. I trimmed all the way down to
that was like 3 hours.
To the root ball. Hey, he had a big old crane in there and a dumpster. And I mean, whack, 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 whack. They dropped that thing and they all hauled it away. It was gone.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how much money it can cost to trim those large palms as they get big. You know, they're kind of neat when they're little. There are dwarf palm trees, folks. There are, you know, some Mediterranean palms and Mexican blue palms and palms that don't get 50 feet tall. So take into consideration. It goes back to the key to pruning is putting the right plant in the right place at the right time. So knowing how big it's going to get. So you don't have to keep pruning it because it's outgrowing the space that you want it in. So
1-888-767-4348 as we continue to move through the calls. Les, good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions. First one, we're thinking about doing, you know, buying 3 or 4 big trees to plant in our, you know, landscape in our backyard to replace some the ficus trees that we've had that were, you know, completely exacerbated by the last 3 hard freezes. Is now a good time to do that? And the second question would be, in reference to the gentleman that just spoke, we've got, I think they're pygmy palms. One was doing really well. They've got multiple trunks on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, one trunk is still growing, and the other two are ceasing to not grow anymore. Is there a way to save those, or is that just the way things are?
Pygmy palms, on the other hand, are very frost sensitive, and they're not as heat tolerant. They're very tropical, and so you probably got hit by the cold the last few years, and then a lot of times when those real frost sensitive plants get hit by the cold, then they struggle when it gets hot to recover. Those trunks can be cut off, and you'd be left with the one trunk or the two trunks that are doing well. And if that look would still be okay, then that's a solution for you. Just go in right at the base, right where they're coming out of the ground or close to the other trunk, and just go ahead and saw it off. make a nice clean cut, and it'll be fine until it freezes again.
Yeah. Which you're probably going to get one or two more, I would think, this year.
Well, frosts are one thing. Hard, you know, in the low 20s or high teens, that's a whole other issue. These, you know, 32, 31, 30-degree frosts, that doesn't really bother much to have a little bit of that and have some bougainvilleas freeze back. But things, when you start damaging palms, especially a slow-growing palm like a pygmy palm, then they have a hard time recovering. You know, that's a palm tree that when again, you know, I'm getting old, but when I first got into the business, we sold them for a potted plant, even a house plant or a patio planting. Then, just like ficus, as we went all those years, kind of in the late 70s and 80s without any cold weather, we crept out and all of a sudden ficus became landscape trees and pygmy palms became something we put out in the middle of the front yard. You know, and then wacko, you know, we got hit with some pretty normal hard freeze weather, and now that tree is looking like it's maybe not a great choice. His first question was, is it a good time, though, to plant trees to replace ficus? And we talked about that earlier. You want to plant oaks and African sumacs and pistache and mesquites and palo verdes. This is a great time.
And like trees. You mentioned, it's soft digging. That's, and because the moisture's in the soil, if it's an evergreen plant, I would think that makes it all that much better than putting it in a dry dust.
Well, it reduces all the stress that we have when it starts to get warm. The plant is not using very much water. So you put it in the ground. The ground is already moist, so you don't have to water it as much to get it watered in good. And then there just isn't the stress from the transpiration from the plant losing moisture very rapidly. So they just get established nice and easy. Now, it's not going to grow much until it warms up, but it's already in the ground. And those roots are in the ground. And as soon as that soil starts to warm up, bam, it's going to take off. So good time to do it. And you know what? It's a lot nicer digging holes right now than it is when it's 90 or 100 degrees.
And hard dirt. We got the nice, soft,
damp. You get the combination soil of the heat and hard dirt. Now you got soft dirt, and it's cool out.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join us in the landscape.